Downtown listeners, I'm here with Coach Ben Barr, whose team has come off a 1-1 weekend at the Alphonse. And Ben, I wanted to start talking about Friday night's game, which I think maybe the casual observer felt better about than you did. Every time they'd get a goal, we'd get one back, but not right away. It seemed that once they struck early, we were back in that tentative mode again.
I didn't think our team played poorly in the game. I mean, I didn't like how when we scored, I didn't like the next minute or two. You know, the shifts after goals, like goals for and goals against, are really, really important. And, you know, watching it back, like, you know, we'd get some momentum, we'd score a goal, tie the game, and then the next shift would be, you know, they'd be back in our zone, you know, we'd be playing defense again. So that was one thing that I didn't really like in that game. But, you know, like, at the end of the day, you know, we have to play really, really well to beat a team like that. We played pretty good. We didn't play well enough, you know. And, you know, you can say, you know, like, statistically and everything, like, you know, we had plenty of scoring chances. You know, we shot into his chest, a lot of them, or shot it wide or over the net. You know, like, it was disappointing that, you know, I thought our energy level and our work ethic was good enough. The execution wasn't there. The result obviously wasn't there either. So it was disappointing. I can't fault the guy's effort, but the execution and the mental piece of it wasn't good enough to beat a team like BU on Friday.
Well, we'll leave Friday behind, because Saturday was one of the more exciting games I had to watch on television, because I couldn't be at the rink. And so I got to watch a lot of the replays. I was really impressed with how much, even when you were down by two, that you had some players that just were relentless in their efforts to try and get the goal back, and the goals back. And I guess we can't say too much about Lyndon Breen.
Yeah, he that was an extraordinary performance there in the third period by Lyndon. You know, he has that in him, as do other players. You know, to be honest with you, everyone has that in him if they can find it. And, you know, he's had a few games like that this year where he's decided he's going to take the game over. And, you know, hockey is a team game ultimately, that, you know, you need everybody going. It's the ultimate team game, in my opinion. No, you can't win with one or two guys normally. But, you know, you do. It's nice to see a player step up, you know, take a leadership role and go out and do something like what Lyndon did. And Benny Poisson, to the same, you know, those two guys in the third period decided that, you know, they're going to take it upon themselves to bring our team back. And so that was, given all the adversity, all the penalties, we killed almost a full period of penalties in that game, which is, you know, a little ridiculous with our discipline, but, you know, also, you know, I don't think it was that uneven of a game penalty wise. And for some reason, it just keeps happening to us, but we won't go down that road. But, you know, that was just a very gutsy performance by the team and obviously a few individuals there in the third period.
Yeah, I know you can't go down that road, but I did listen to the TV commentators, which includes a former college hockey official. Maine does not seem to get the benefit of the doubt on the calls. I mean, there were calls made against our players that maybe they're penalties, maybe they're not, but when they occurred the other way, they weren't called. How do you keep the guys on the bench head in the game when that starts to happen? Because I know as a player, it starts to wear on you. You think, my God, I can't do anything. I get a call. And you killed off 17 minutes of penalties, and including a five-minute penalty, which looked like it might have doomed you. I mean, can you talk about it on the bench, or do you just rely on the kids' natural understanding of what they need to do?
You don't talk about it on the bench. We did talk about it as a because it's kind of, the second half here, it's kind of been a theme where, for some reason, we seem to be killing off two or three times as many penalties as our opponent every night. And I don't, you know, some of it is definitely you know, we have to own it. We take some stupid offensive zone penalties. So I really do not like getting on the referees. It's not, I don't ever find it productive. It just seems like a waste of time, and it's kind of a fool's errand because it just makes it worse usually. But the way I've kind of phrased it to our team is, until we earn the respect of our opponents and the league again, that's what's going to happen. And you go out and you earn respect by doing what we did on Sunday afternoon. We had a very similar game, the first game against Providence. We had a ton of penalties on Friday night 2 weeks ago against Providence and found a way to win. Those type of situations are what earns your team respect and your program respect again. And I think once you earn that respect, then maybe some of those calls start going your way instead of every single call going against you. So that's kind of, you know, how we phrased it and how we've talked to our team about it. And, you know, we have to control what we control and stop taking stupid penalties in the offensive zone and stick penalties and tripping penalties and that kind of stuff. Those are inexcusable. It's the stuff that you don't even really see. And then, you know, we get a breakaway in overtime and our guy gets tripped and there's no call. Like, that's the kind of stuff that gets frustrating when it's not reciprocated both ways. You can deal with penalties when they're the same for both teams. It's just when it feels like it's all going against you. And again, that it's human nature when it happens 3 or 4 games in a row. You're like, oh, the world's against me. And that's not true. But we'll earn the respect of our league and our opponents if we keep playing hard and keep and fight through it.
One of the things I think it's fair to say about Hockey East is there are a lot of excellent goaltenders. And I noticed last night that one from Northeastern managed to backstop a victory against BU. Do you think it makes a great difference in a league's overall play when you have so many good netminders?
The goalies are the ultimate equalizer for a team. You know, like, you can play really, really well to do everything you possibly could want to win a game and not win a game, you know, if the goaltending's not there, and you can play really poorly. The opposite of that is true. You play really poorly and find a way to win, you know, and I think we've seen that in our team this year. We've seen, you know, Victor's, you know what, you know, kept us in some games that we didn't play great in, and we found a way to win. And on the other side of that's true too. And I think that's probably every team in our league has the ability to do that. So it's from the goaltending out every single night. You know, like, we talk, every aspect of our game has to be solid. You know, our goaltending has to be good. Our 5-on-5 has to be good. Our PK and our power play has to be good. And if one of those things is off, especially for our team, with where we are, in our cycle of our program right now, one of those things is off, it makes it really hard. And, you know, the other night, penalty killing was outstanding. Goaltending was good. We didn't get very many power plays, so that was kind of a wash. But, we found a way to win because of our penalty killing and our goaltending, you know. And Providence weekend was probably the same. You know, we had we scored at least 1 or 2 power play goals in both those games, kept them off the board in the penalty kill. Victor was solid. We win. So goaltending is the most important piece of the game, is, you know, depending on what, you know, I don't care what anyone says, it's the biggest piece of what we do here.
Well, you've got you're back on the road. The season is really, we're really in the dogfight here coming down the stretch. What do you think are the biggest obstacles to completing the season at the level you'd like to finish?
I think we just need to keep doing our thing day by day. You know, like, I believe that the belief in our room is still getting better. I think our guys are understanding that, you know, if we play up to our potential, we can beat anybody on any given night. And I don't know if that was necessarily the case last year. So that's a mental step that we've taken. Every single game the rest of the way is going to be incredibly difficult, as every game up to this point has been. So, yeah, I don't think our message changes. I think we just have to keep pushing forward and find a way to get a little bit better every day, you know. And you know, we can't be, oh, we had a really exciting win on Sunday, we're just going to go show up at BC and think that we're going to, you know, walk through, you know, show up at 80% and have a chance. No, we have to show up at 100%, 110%, if that's even possible. That's how we, that's really how we have to approach every game. Be no different this weekend against two really good teams. It will be no different next weekend when we're back home. I think we have 8 games left. Every single one of those games is going to require every one of our players to have their A game.
Well, they certainly are a hard-fighting bunch, cardiac kids, if ever. And we all who watch can see that incredible improvement. And we wish you the best down the stretch. Have a great time at Connie Forum. And, Ben, I appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Bruce.